Would you pray with me? Jesus, we love you. We thank you for who you are, that you've made a way for us. And Jesus, I pray that this morning that you would shape each of us. Pull back the veil. Help us to see you more clearly in a way that forms who we are. Transform us. Jesus, my greatest desire is to learn to walk in your way. And not just to learn about it, but to learn to do it and to put it into practice. My greatest desire is for your restorative love, God, to come alive in me so that my neighbors know how good and loving you are. And my desire this morning for whoever's listening and for those of us gathered together, that all of us would be discovering your way and finding the courage and the hope and the joy to walk faithfully in it. Jesus, so we bring everything with us. We don't leave anything at the door, but we come into this space with all of our grief and joy, with all of our doubt and wonder, with all that we are. We bring it in here into this space because all this stuff is on the journey with us. And we ask that you would change all of us, that you would shine your light in every dark corner. You would reveal all truth. Jesus, we do lift up specifically brothers and sisters who are suffering. We keep praying for Rick. You'd heal for Maddie and Taylor, that you'd comfort, that you would bless them somehow. For those who are grieving and feeling the sense of loss, that you would be with them. For those of us who are just struggling with this pandemic and with loneliness and depression, God, that you would bring light where there only feels like darkness, and the things that feel like they are heavy and crushing us, that we would have a sense, Jesus, that you are coming along beside us, bearing up under those with us, teaching us how to do that together also. Jesus, we love you. Help us to be present here with you because we know you are present with us. In your precious name, amen. Amen. Good morning, Roosevelt Community Church. So glad to be in this space with you. It's good to be together, even if it's in this strange way. It keeps feeling like I'm going to get used to this, right? This pandemic and doing things online and Zoom, and I don't, and I can't. And I so long with, I know probably all of you, for the day when it feels like we can gather together again to see each other, to elbow bump or wherever we're at that point, you know, like, to actually have conversation and look into each other's eyes. I long for that with you. And I'm praying, and I'd ask you to join me in praying, just that the vaccine, that there would be a good, clear rollout, that it would be safe and effective, that it would come more speedily, and that we'd be able to get those vaccines into arms and into the right people, and that it would begin to really turn the tide on this pandemic. So I invite you to pray into that. I pray that you would be finding hope and joy in Jesus. That his light would be shining into every dark corner of your life, comforting you in whatever grief or suffering you might be experiencing. I mean, my deepest prayer really is that every one of us would be knowing Jesus. And not just knowing about or knowing verses or imagining, but experiencing the presence of Jesus in our lives, that the life of Jesus would be coming alive in us, and that in that we would experience joy, even when it doesn't make any sense. That you would experience the life of Jesus giving you courage to walk in the light, to walk in love, to walk in peace, to walk in the way of Jesus. We're taking time over the next few months to really look at what it means for us to walk the way of Jesus, to hold the narrative of Jesus at the core of all we are and allow it to become our narrative. We believe that following Jesus means paying attention to the life, teaching, miracles, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I mean, reading the story over and over found in the Gospels, inviting the Spirit of God to speak through it to us. And all of that time, reading it and listening and holding that space in a way that, that we're inviting God to change us so that we can live different. Because I am convinced that if we're learning to follow the way of Jesus together, in the place where God has placed us, with the people who are actually around each of us, our neighbors and our neighborhood, that we will begin to experience the restorative love of God coming alive in our communities, in our neighborhoods. So this week we want to look at the baptism of Jesus, to meditate on the layers of meaning we find here. Allow the story to kind of excavate our souls a little, asking together what this teaches us about how we ought to be living as we try to walk the way of Jesus together. In particular, looking at if this is kind of the beginning, this is this moment that launches Jesus into his ministry. If this is the beginning, and if we feel like right now in this series, we're beginning to try and gather together and find courage to walk more faithfully in the way of Jesus, is there something about the way this story begins for him and maybe the way our stories can begin anew for us? So let's start by reading one of the four versions of this story, first from Mark. And then I want to ask you to reflect together on what you hear and see in this story. What does it tell us about the way of Jesus? So we're going to read Mark 1, 9 through 15. So if you got a Bible, you can turn with me and read along. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. But this is Mark 1. 9 through 15. One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. Later on, when John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached the good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." So I want to invite you to take a minute with those around you in the comments or in quiet reflection. What do you hear and see in this little story about the way of Jesus? As we look at these verses, what do we hear and see about the way Jesus? I love how this story begins. In three of the Gospels, it's as if Jesus is kind of just walking along and this happens. One day, as Jesus was walking, like the rushing river of his ministry, of his call, just sweeps him up along the path. But this is the beginning, a launching point. The pre-story or introduction is over. And now we are immersed in the full story. There's a sense in which everything before this is trying to get us to the point to understand who Jesus is as born of a virgin, Son of God, rescued and protected by God, set apart, all of the miraculous story around Christmas and leading up to this point. But here is where his ministry begins. The baptism of Jesus is somehow a launch, a new beginning, this kind of starting point of something new, rooted in all that's happened up to this point. Something changes here. The story pivots or launches. It's like a commissioning marking a new beginning rooted in the whole story. Baptism is full of rich symbolism of washing, of anointing, of passing from death to life. So let's read it again, but from a different version. So this is from Luke. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke 3, 21 through 22. One day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." One day, there are all these people being baptized, and Jesus shows up. And standing in the river, after being baptized, it's as if Jesus is standing, immersed in the water, standing in this moment, standing in the presence of God, praying. And the Spirit of God descends like a dove on Jesus. What does this picture remind you of? What does it invoke? The Bible begins with a picture of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters like a dove. Baptism draws us into the depths of God, into pre-creation, into what was before any of this was, into that creative moment when God is calling life out of the chaos and the void. We are reminded that God is calling us out, speaking truth about who we are, creating us. We are new creations in Christ. All of creation was birthed out of this immersion in the very presence of God, where the waters gather and the Spirit of God hovers and the voice of God speaks and everything is born. And so this baptismal moment, as Jesus goes down in the water and is immersed, this moment draws Jesus into that moment, immersed in the presence of God, as God gathers the waters of Jesus and speaks life, creates, speaks truth. Every step along the way of Jesus is grounded in this truth. The Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, bringing order out of chaos, creating life out of the void, calling us to be who we were created to be. Every step of your journey on the way of Jesus, every step of faith, it's rooted in and immersed in this truth that it all begins with us being found completely in the presence of God and God speaking life into us, calling us out, gathering the waters, and bringing order and form to who we truly are. Let's read another version of this story found in Matthew. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew 3:13-17. When Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I'm the one who needs to be baptized in you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Jesus says, we must carry out all that God requires. John is like, "There's no way I'm baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." But Jesus says, we must carry out all that God requires. John, baptize me. So I want us to take another moment with those around you in the comments or in quiet reflection. What does Jesus mean by this? What is it that God requires in this moment? What do you hear and see in this moment of the story? Jesus knows that this story, his story, is connected with a larger story. Something bigger that God has been doing. That God has been doing from that moment at the beginning of Genesis when the Spirit hovered over the waters. The way of Jesus is part of the ancient way, the ancient story. His story is rooted in and tied to God's story, the story that began before time and goes on for eternity. Jesus knows that he is part of the rushing river of God's kingdom, rushing through all of creation, and that he must be swept into those waters. Because there is something sacred and mysterious about passing through the waters. A way throughout the whole story that God uses passing through the waters to immerse people in the goodness of God and launch them into something new. A way that God uses the waters throughout the story to rescue and to save and to bring new life. Creation began with these waters, and we were formed in the image of God. But the world went sideways, overcome with violence and greed, destroying itself. So the waters of a flood washed over it. But Noah and his families passed through the waters and were saved. Saved to start a new beginning, a type of recreation on the earth. As part of the Exodus story, the liberation of Israel from slavery in Egypt, they passed through the waters of the Red Sea to start a new beginning, to become the people of God. Then after wandering in the desert, they passed through the waters of the Jordan to start a new beginning, to enter the Promised Land, a new chapter of the same story, passing through the waters because God is creating something new. And Jesus comes to these same waters, to the Jordan, to pass through, to be immersed, to launch a new chapter, the story of liberation and rescue and reconciliation. This is the way of Jesus. We are invited to the same waters, to be baptized, to be immersed, to allow God to begin something new in us, something that has always been there, to heal, to liberate, to reconcile, to guide us to the way of Jesus, the path of peace, the life-giving way, the story of God that has always been unfolding. We need these moments, intentional moments immersed in the Spirit of God, connecting us with the beauty and mystery of God's unfolding kingdom like a rushing river, renewing us, launching us into the next chapter God is inviting us into. For some, this moment is an experience. It can be experienced in a prayer. Maybe a prayer of new faith, a prayer of confession. For many, we experience this in actual baptism. Of being baptized, of going down in the waters and coming up and recommitting our lives and inviting the Spirit of God to really fill us. Maybe we experience it weekly in the invitation to come to the table and be filled with Jesus. Maybe somehow this juice or wine connects us to these deep waters. But I want to encourage you and invite you to keep finding these waters. Keep letting God renew you. In particular, at moments where you feel like you are about to step into something new. In particular, in moments where you feel like the Spirit of God brooding and something new is coming and something else is about to be created or something else is about to be revealed, that these moments are an invitation for us to come and be immersed fully in the presence of God for a time, in a way to set us apart, in a way to ground us in the story of God's kingdom, the story that's been unfolding from before time and for eternity. Keep coming to these waters. Every step of the faithful journey in the way of Jesus begins in a baptismal moment. Let's read the last version of this story found in John. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell the story of Jesus, and all of them tell this story in little different ways. We find John telling the story in John 1, 29 through 34. John 1:29-34, if you want to read along. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' I didn't recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." I want to take just one last moment together and reflect. With those around you or here in the comments or even just in quiet reflection by yourself, what does it mean that Jesus is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit? If this is connected with the larger story, what does it mean that Jesus is the one who has come to baptize with the Holy Spirit? So take a few minutes and reflect together. There's something about Jesus' baptism that reveals who he really is. Something about this immersion, this creation moment, this rooted beginning reveals that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who will deal with all that is wrong in the world. Somehow this new beginning, this act of baptism, this connection with the waters from creation and the flood and the Red Sea parting and crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land, this immersion in God's presence, something about it reveals who Jesus really is. There's something about being immersed in the waters, immersed in the presence of God, that is like being in a womb surrounded by these waters of God. And Jesus is born anew in a way, and all of a sudden John sees it. On the other side of baptism, it's as if Jesus has experienced a new birth, more fully revealing to the world who he really is. Walking the way of Jesus isn't just about us trying to find out who we really are. It's not just a journey of self-discovery, but it is about God revealing who we are. See, there's this fundamental truth in the Bible, and this thing that I believe in, and I hope that we believe, is that God created you beautifully and perfectly in the image of God. That you are a beloved child of God. But somehow in this world, because of death and desolation and destruction, because of darkness, all of that gets twisted and we lose who we really are, who we were really meant to be. Greed and violence and lust, anger and hatred, all of these things cloud and we can't see and others can't see. And it's all broken. And there's something about baptism that reveals. It's not about us trying to find who we are. It's that we are immersed in the presence of God. And God begins to reveal to us and to the world who we truly are. In order for us to walk in the way of Jesus, it actually has to start with us finding space to listen to God telling us who we really are. You are the beloved child of God, deeply loved by God, created in God's image, unique and beautiful, a thread in the tapestry of God's kingdom, unlike any other thread. In giving ourselves to God, God shows us who we truly are. And helps us live out of that true identity so that the world can see who we were created to be. so that the world can see and experience the restorative love of God that is coming alive in us as we allow God to tell us who we really are. As we pay attention to the Spirit of God speaking truth and calling to us out of the chaos and the void. The way of Jesus isn't just about us trying to get somewhere. It's not just about self-discovery. It's in walking the way of Jesus that God shows us who we truly are, who we were meant to be, and how we have a unique story to live out. And the beautiful thing is God never says, figure out who you are, who you're supposed to be, get your life in order, and then you can come join us on the journey. God says, come. Come walk. Come join the ancient path, the good way. Start walking, and as you walk, as we walk it together, we will get to see and know the Father. And as we get to see and know the Father, we'll also get to see and know who we really are, because the Father will reveal that to us. The Spirit of God will reveal that to us. It's in walking the way of Jesus that God shows us who we truly are, who we were meant to be, and how we have a unique story to live out. Where the life of Jesus comes alive in you. The creative life that began before time. The life that sustains and inspires. When the voice of God says to Jesus, you are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy. I hear God saying, this is who you are. Who you were created to be. Who you have always been. And seeing you live into your identity brings so much joy. Seeing you know who you truly are brings so much joy. Obviously, we are not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. And this is a unique moment in the story of Jesus. But as children of God, trying to learn to follow the way of Jesus, I believe that when we immerse ourselves in the presence of God, when we allow God to root us in who we were created to be, and when we begin to walk in the way of Jesus, it brings this same kind of joy to God, because God dearly loves you. And it brings joy to God to see that we are walking in the way of Jesus, immersed in the presence of God, and awakening to the voice of God, to the Spirit of God, telling us who we truly are, so that we can live faithfully. The Spirit of God is moving over the water of our souls. Jesus is inviting you to walk the way of life. God is inviting you to know who you truly are and to live out that story and the story he's called you into your neighborhood, your work, your relationship, your family. To live out your story, the story connected with God's story that began before creation and will go on for eternity. To join the rushing river of the kingdom of God. God is up to something, inviting, calling, creating. And I believe that if we live faithfully, if we faithfully respond, it will lead us to the way of Jesus. In fact, I believe that the way we find ourselves walking in the way of Jesus is beginning in this place. Place of decision, of commitment, a place where we immerse ourselves in the presence of God, a place where we find ourselves totally caught up in the story, a place where we allow the powerful voice of God to speak into us and tell us who we truly are. I don't know all that God is up to in your life. I don't know how much you've heard who God created you to be from God himself, who you truly are. But I want to encourage you today, this week, find a way to immerse yourself in the presence of God. Find a way to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Give yourself fully to God who knows you and loves you. Maybe this means setting aside an hour to be quiet and pray. Maybe it means taking some more time this week, real time, to be in Scripture, to listen to the story, to read the story, to meditate on the story. Maybe it means turning your life over to God. Maybe in this moment you know that what God is inviting you into is to actually get on the path, to choose to start walking in the way of Jesus, which begins by immersing yourself in the love of God. Maybe it even feels like you need to be baptized. And on Easter, honestly, we'd love to baptize you. I have no idea what it's going to look like yet, but on Easter, we will do baptisms. It might be at 6 in the morning in Lake Whatcom, freezing cold. I don't know, but we will find a way to do baptisms together. And maybe this story invites you to actually be baptized, to be immersed in the waters and allow the beauty and the mystery of that moment to enrapture your soul and allow the Spirit of God to speak in this unique and powerful way that's beyond my understanding or anything I can even really explain to you, but to actually be baptized. If you've never been baptized, get a hold of me. I'd love to talk to you about that. And in fact, whatever it is you feel like God is inviting you into in this moment to be immersed in the restorative love of God, I want to encourage you just to pay attention to one last note from this story. Jesus' baptism also required John to be faithful. Jesus did not go out in the desert by himself and baptize himself. Jesus needed John to guide him into this place. Jesus needed John in order to be immersed in this moment. And John needed to be faithful. Jesus needed John to guide him. So whatever God is inviting you into in this moment, however this story is calling you to more faithfully walk in the way of Jesus, or even just to begin to walk in the way of Jesus, you probably need someone else to help you. In fact, more than probably. I can say with certainty, and I'm not certain about all that many things, you need someone else to help you. I need someone else to help me, to guide me. And specifically, I believe that there are these moments invited to be immersed in the presence of God where we really need someone else to help us walk into that and through it. Someone to guide, to pray, to hold accountable. Someone to carry us, to hold us as we go under the water. Someone to serve us at the table, to share the wine and the juice with us. So reach out. Reach out to me. I would love, especially as we're about to head into Lent and this season where we lean into Jesus in a new way, in a more devoted way, often fasting or sacrificing or giving up something in order to fill our lives with more of Jesus. Reach out to me. I would love to help guide you. I would love to hear your story, hear where you're at, to pray with you, to discern with you, and to walk, whatever that looks like, into a moment like this. But reach out to a friend, to a mentor, to a spouse, to your children, to your parents. Don't turn away from what God is speaking to you right now. And don't turn away from the people God has in your life. God is weaving us together like a tapestry. You are a unique and beautiful thread, the only one like you being weaved through the kingdom of God. But where the beauty really comes alive is when we are weaved together. The story includes John. Because Jesus needed John to guide him into this moment. That's the way God created this world and created us. So reach out. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon Jesus. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. Would you pray with me? Jesus, you are the chosen one. And we want to learn to walk in your way, because in walking in your way, we will find life, we will know the Father, and we will know who we are, because God, we believe you will reveal it to us. I pray that you would unsettle us, that everyone in this moment would hear each of us being invited by you into something, into this baptismal type moment. What is it, God, that you're inviting us today and this week to be immersed in your presence, so you can speak the truth of who we really are and draw us into the beauty and mystery from before creation to the end of time of your kingdom that is a mighty rushing river in our world. Jesus, unsettle us. Give us a hunger and a thirst, and don't let it go away until we've responded. And I pray you'd give each of us courage to reach out, to reach out to someone to help guide us through this moment. I pray, Father, that more and more of us would come to know you. And in knowing you and your restorative love, that we would come to know who we really are because you are revealing it. And that as we learn who we really are, that we would be able to live with courageous hope in the way of Jesus, so that your restorative love is experienced more and more and more in the neighborhoods where you've called us to live and work and play. Jesus, would your kingdom come? In your precious name I pray, amen. We're going to finish by taking communion this morning. Coming to this like we would to the baptismal waters, and inviting God to immerse us in the presence of God and the life and resurrection of Jesus. So we say with the church, throughout history and around the world, this is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We take the cracker together, broken. We share it and we say, this is Jesus' body broken for you. And we dip or we sip from the cup. And we say to each other, this is Jesus' blood poured out for you. May you find a new beginning in the restorative love of God this week as you immerse yourself in the presence of God. May you find yourself completely submerged in the Spirit of God so that you can walk faithfully in the way of Jesus. I love you, friends. Go with God.